Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for another edition of Sports Byline. And again, looking up at the numbers on our Sports Byline USA fan poll, you'll find it on the homepage at sportsbyline.com. We're going to leave it up through the weekend because I want to get a good feel for how you fans feel about this question, because there's still a lot of talk about whether the Houston Astros should be stripped of their 2017 World Series title for cheating, and the voting is very close. 53% of you say no, 47% say yes. So again, we'll leave it up through the weekend, and I want you to check it out. Coming up this hour, we're going to kick things off talking to Roy Eisenhart. He's with us each Friday as we check in for Inside Angle. That's because he's been a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's when his family owned that team, and now teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. So we'll talk to him about the duration of this cheating scandal and all the comments about it. Also, the commissioner's comments about the World Series trophy being just a piece of metal. And he also has said, the commissioner, that he plans to protect and make sure the players like Mike Fiers and other players on the Houston Astros are protected from any retaliation. And then right after that, we check in with Sal Berry, as we do each week. He joins us for the Collector's Corner. He's a writer for Sports Collector's Digest, Beckett Publications, and the Hockey News. And the NASCAR season is underway. They finished up the rain-delayed Daytona 500 on Monday with that spectacular crash at the end of it. So Crash Gladys will join us. She's part of the Speed Freaks crew that you hear at 9 p.m. on Sundays on the Sports Byline Network. And by the way, this interesting note about the scandal with the Houston Astros, I see a Pennsylvania Little League district has asked its teams to stop using the Astros nickname after revelations of the Astros cheating on the way to their winning a 2017 World Series title. Traditionally, youth baseball teams claim the nickname of a major league club, but District 1631, which consists of 23 different leagues, they have recommended its teams refrain from using the Astros moniker. And Bob Bertoni, who is the head of the district, says imitation is the greatest form of flattery, but the Astros right now are not who we want our kids to be emanating. Cheating has no place in sports at any level, and we decided that for right now, the Astros should be suspended. Interesting story. We continue on Sports Byline.
A little story about Boost Mobile. Davis, I am feeling pain.
What, your dog died? Your girlfriend left you?
No, the pain I'm feeling is having an old smartphone.
Mm-hmm. That's why I switched to Boost Mobile and got four free phones for $25 per line.
Well, I didn't. Without Boost Mobile, I got an old phone. It makes my life sad. I feel so alone. I'm switching to Boost, getting four phones for free. Yeah, Samsung Galaxies for my whole family.
Switch to Boost Mobile and get four lines for $25 per line per month with unlimited data and four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones, all on our super reliable, super fast network. Step up with Boost Mobile. New customers only. Limited time offer while supplies last. Requires one port from eligible carrier and activation. One free device per line. Customers who use more than 35 gigabytes of data during a billing cycle will be deprioritized during times of network congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details.
If this were just any door, and this were just any ignition, connected to just any transmission, in just any vehicle, then perhaps it would be okay to buy it from just anyone. But this is not just any car. It's a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Every detail has been inspected and road-tested by highly skilled Mercedes-Benz technicians. And it's all backed by an unlimited mileage warranty, which makes the decision of where to buy one simple. Your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. The certified pre-owned sales event going on now through March 2nd. Come in today and enjoy a credit of up to $1,500 toward your first two payments through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Because in the end, it's absolute confidence in genuine Mercedes-Benz parts, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on credit toward your first 2 months' payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
Nobody thinks twice about getting a second opinion on a doctor or a lawyer. But what about when you need somebody to work on your home, like an electrician, landscaper, or plumber? Somebody doing major work on your pipes definitely calls for a second opinion. So next time you get a recommendation on a pro, get a second opinion at Angie's List. As the authority on local pros, we offer thousands of reviews, plus business info, offers, and photos. Just go to AngiesList.com. Hey, you want to feel great about who you're hiring, and we second that opinion.
Ready to own your first real home? The road to unrenting can get a bit rocky. It takes a reliable partner to right wrong turns. That's the role of a realtor, an expert voice of reason helping you navigate the rigmarole of real estate, a trusted ally who knows and represents your rights, so you get all the right guidance on your journey home. Is your agent a realtor? Look for the R. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Time to check in with Roy Eisenhardt as we do each week here on Sports Byline. It's the show that we call Inside Angle as we take a look at some of the interesting stories in sports and break it down and drill down a little bit deeper to give you a perspective. Roy, of course, he's been a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's when his family won the team, and now he teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. I don't think either one of us, Roy, thought that the noise about the cheating scandal would be as loud or as long as it has been. What do you think is the reason for that?
Well, I agree with you. I thought it would be about a week or week and a half of a story. I think a couple of things come to mind. First of all, there's not a lot else going on in baseball, actually, even in sports right now. We're kind of at that quiet period. So this is something to talk about. Secondly, I think that perhaps, and it's easy with hindsight to second guess, perhaps the commissioner should have done more to get the Players Association and the players to buy into his decision as to how he was going to discipline and how he wasn't going to discipline, so that he didn't get this after the fact begrudging, complaining about this and that, so forth. And the third is I probably wouldn't have done any more interviews about it. I just would have shut down, because it seems like every time he talks about it, he's like kicking the hornet's nest all over again. So what will make it go away? I don't think anything can go away, make it go away anymore, except the passage of time, starting the season, and people just get tired of talking about it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll go away at all, ever. It'll be something that people remember, just like the cancellation of the World Series in baseball. But what surprised me a little bit, Roy, was that other athletes from other sports that are well-respected in their sport are weighing in on this. LeBron James says, listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be irate. Players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc. about this. And that's not something that we've heard when it's come to other scandals in sports, and particularly in baseball.
Yeah. No, but I go back to the fact I would have gotten everybody on board with what I was going to do to the management, what I was not going to do the owner, and I wasn't going to take the title away, and I wasn't going to say the trophy is just a piece of metal. And I think if he had done more of that, we might have had less of this. It's not to say it'll go, when I say go away, I don't mean go away in the sense of be whited out in history. I mean just die into the background and other stories start to take over.
Also going to be very interesting to see what happens down the road between the Players Association and MLB, because in a sense the commissioner also tried to throw the MLB and Tony Clark underneath the bus on the issue about the players not having to be responsible for talking about this, getting immunity. And I thought to myself, I would have thought that one through a little longer as well.
Yeah, although, you know, I never pick either side at full face value. I don't know what the conversations were. There were a lot of rubber band words in the statements coming out of both sides. Well, that goes back to my point. I would have gotten the Players Association on the same page because they should be very happy that he didn't punish the players. So, you know, let's leave it at that and not keep kicking it all over again. So I'm tired of the story myself.
Well, the other thing I'm wondering about is the commissioner vows Major League Baseball will protect Mike Fiers, who is the one that, of course, started all of this by revealing all of this. But also he was referring to any type of payback when it comes to the Houston Astros players. And I'm just wondering, that was a disturbing aspect of all of this as well. How did you read that?
Yeah, I thought it came off out wrong. He's going to protect Mike Fiers. I mean, I don't know, protect him against what? I mean, he doesn't bat in the American League. So, you know, unless you're talking about some off-field aberrational conduct. So I thought that was probably something that didn't have to be said. I also don't think it's fair to blame Mike Fiers completely for this.
Right.
Yeah, he happened to have told a story, but, you know, if you're on a team like the A's, who are very competitive with the Astros and finishing in the wild card right behind them, you want your players to know that the Astro players are good likelihood they're stealing signs. It's part of the defense you need to put up against that. So if it hadn't been Mike Fiers, it would have been somebody else. He just happened to be the guy who talked to the Athletic, and the story got published.
Yeah, you know as well as I do that in other things, that if something is not done, and you remember the Oakland A's and apparently a couple of other teams went to Major League Baseball and told them about this particular problem, and Major League Baseball didn't do anything about it.
Right. And let us not forget there's another team involved where the investigation is still going on. So we don't know that we've seen the denominator on this story.
One thing that we do know is that minor league baseball players are going to get a raise, not this year, but the next year, except for a couple of clubs that are deciding to go ahead and increase it immediately. I saw a story on the San Francisco Giants raising it. If you're a rookie, it's going to go from a weekly raise from $290 to $400. Class A, $290 to $500. Double A, it'll be $350 to $600. And Triple A, $502 to $750. So at least they're moving on this. What's your read on it?
Well, I think that they're certain sense they're getting a jump on the inevitable. It still doesn't bring them up to the minimum wage that's required under federal law. So it's a nice token, but I see it as part of the bigger package where baseball is trying to cut back on the number of minor league teams in order to save money. So you raise salaries, say $500,000, then you cut two teams and save $1 million. So I think we're going to have to look at how this plays out when the baseball and the minor league baseball association finally can get reconciliation as to whether there's going to be a cutback on the number of minor league teams.
Being in broadcasting, and of course you being part of the A's family when it was owned by your family, I should say, and you were the president of the team, I remember when baseball broadcasts were on AM radio stations and the stations paid rights for those broadcast rights. And then we watched it change a little bit in that they went to FM radio stations. And then they started buying time on stations, so they maintained the inventory and sold it themselves. And now there's an announcement that I think is a portend to things to come in baseball particularly, and that is the Oakland A's are going to distribute their games only on an app. They did it on an internet and a broadcast station last season, and now they're moving only to an app. And with the things that we've talked about with minor league teams possibly going away, how do you see this? Is this an indication of something that might be coming down the road? And is it a dangerous situation for those people, particularly older fans, who don't get the technology that we use today?
All of the above. I see it as, I'm not going to say it's a mistake, because the A's know what they're doing, and I trust they've thought this through. I think losing radio is a fundamental loss to baseball, because I think baseball is fundamentally a radio sport. I mean, right, other than sitting in the stands and watching it, you know, you're out on a walk, or you're in the garden, or you're working in your basement or whatever, and you have the baseball game on the radio, and your mind is processing it, and you're going through the play and going through the positioning of the infielders and so forth. And I think that's one of the beauties of baseball, that is captured by good radio broadcasts and good radio announcers. It's probably inevitable that radio falls by the wayside, but baseball at the same time is trying to make itself relevant in today's generation. And I think unless somebody grows up on baseball listening to it on the radio, you're never really going to appreciate the game in the same way as sitting watching on television and doing three other things at the same time and changing channels if the score gets behind a little bit, because it's you're not doing it as background, you're doing it as your primary activity. So I think it's a bad thing for baseball if radio goes away. I happen to be the old school, I guess. I think it's also harder on the aged population who tend to listen to a lot of games on the radio because they're not as facile in using apps on their, you know, their smartphones. So it'll be an interesting thing to see whether this is just the A's for idiosyncratic reasons or whether all of baseball goes this way.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You're spot on with what you said. But let's keep an eye on this, because I think it could be something across all of baseball. Also across, you know, you'd be talking about football, basketball, could be anything.
Yeah,
hey,
course.
Listen, thanks a lot. We'll okay. check in with you next week. Take care.
Of course. Thank
Roy
you.
Eisenhart with us, of course. Roy, Inside Angle is the name of the weekly feature. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Are you an active stock market investor? Well, then you know these three key words. buy, sell, hold. Those three magic words can make or lose you money in the stock market. What if we can show you a time-tested tool that's been helping stock market investors succeed for over 30 years? It's called VectorVest, an amazing system designed to make smart investing easy. The VectorVest system analyzes, sorts, and ranks over 19,000 stocks every day and tells you when to buy, what to buy, and when to sell any stock to maximize your profits in less than 10 minutes a day. And if you call right now, you can test drive our amazing VectorVest system risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95.
800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. 800-584-2519. That's 800-584-2519.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
If you're into sports collectible, we've got the guy for you each week because we call this segment the Collector's Corner. As Sal Berry joins us on Sports Byline, he's a fine writer for Sports Collectors Digest, Beckett Publications, and the Hockey News. And be sure to check it out, his latest Hockey News story on hockey and the movie. What was the name of the movie again, Sal?
Miracle by Disney.
Okay, so check it out on the with Hockey News. Also, he runs a website called Puck Junk, which focuses on hockey collectibles and culture, and he was the hockey collectibles expert on XM Radio, and he's collected sports cards since 1985. You know, I had never heard about the term cross-collectible swap, and I'm sure probably a lot of people that listen to us haven't heard about it either. Tell everybody what that is.
So that's just a term that I made up to describe this trade that happened about a month ago. Maybe it's not quite old news, but it's such a unique trade that happened. Because usually when you think of trading cards, you think of like, I'll trade you this card for that card, right? I'll trade you this football card for that football card, or I'll trade you some old baseball cards. You'll trade me some old hockey cards or whatever. But what happened at the end of last month is that somebody traded a Tom Brady rookie card for a rare Nintendo video game, which is pretty funny because you don't really see that sort of thing. You don't see video game collectors trade for sports trading cards, and you don't really see sports collectors really trade for video games because most video games are nowhere near as valuable. I mean, there are some valuable video games, but nowhere near as valuable as some of the cards that are out there.
And why hasn't this happened more often?
I think it's just because of interests. A couple of things. One is that video games are a newer medium, and then really they've only been embraced as collectibles for maybe about the past 10 or 15 years, whereas sports trading card collecting, you could pretty much trace that back to like the 70s, the mid-70s is when they started being seen as collectibles. But really, 1980 was sort of that turning point for trading cards, and then really about maybe 2000-ish is kind of when it was where video games are seen as collectibles. So what was traded was somebody traded a Tom Brady autographed rookie card from the Contenders set from 2000. It was graded a 10 by PSA. It is an autographed card. Only 14 cards have received a 10 grading. And because of its grading and because it's Tom Brady, it's been appraised at $168,000 based on auctions for the same card being sold at different times. What that person traded it for was a 1990 Nintendo World Championship cartridge. So what's interesting about this cartridge is that Nintendo hosted these tournaments in the 90s where you would like go to like, you know, whoever was hosting the tournament, and it would have certain games on the cartridge. It would have Super Mario Brothers, Rad Racer, and Tetris, but these were like special versions of the game that were modified for this contest because it was about how many points you could score across all three games. And then the cartridge had like little switches on the actual cartridge so that you could modify like the settings of the game. So as far as we know, there's only 353 of these cartridges in existence. There might be a few more, but they were all numbered. They were eventually given away. They've sold for upwards of $15,000, which is a lot for one video game cartridge. So that's what made this trade so unique.
I would think that maybe there might be limited value in something like the card or the, I should say, the video game because of the changing technology. I mean, wouldn't you have to have the type of equipment to be able to play it to have it make real value long term?
Yes and no. I mean, you can still play old video games on newer equipment. There are, you know, cables with like the right type of hookups and stuff. I mean, I was actually able to hook up my old Atari 2600, which was made in the late 70s, to a new TV because I was able to buy the part that I needed for like $5 to convert it, you know, to have the right type of hookup. But people who are buying this sort of game, they're buying it more for the collectible reasons, you know, for collectability, to have it because it's a rare thing, and not so much to play it. Because a lot of games can just be played online now through an emulator, so that does kind of hurt the collectability of games a little bit because there are other ways to play them. So if you just want to play it, there's many ways to play it, but if you just want to have this thing, that's the only way you can have it.
I took a look at the item that you sent me, the Michael Jordan LeBron James basketball card from 2003-2004. I wasn't familiar with that, and it just recently sold for a little bit under $1 million. Tell us about that.
So it's a 2003-2004 Upper Deck Exquisite Collection NBA patch card that has a little NBA logo taken from Michael Jordan's jersey and from LeBron James' jersey. So both of those are mounted on the card. It was limited to one copy. It sold for $900,000 in a private sale. It was brokered through Golden Auctions, but both the buyer and seller wanted to be anonymous. Now, what's unique about this, a couple of things. One is that this is the most that a basketball card has sold. The previous record was for a Lou Alcindor rookie card from 1969, which sold for a little more than $500,000 back in 2016. This card, you know, yeah, pretty darn close to $1 million. Why it's so special? Because it's one of one card, and it has the two most popular basketball players. It doesn't actually have pictures of them, but it has pieces of their jerseys on the same card. So you have people who collect everything LeBron, and you have people who collect everything MJ, and then here you have a card that has both of them. So obviously it's going to have such a high demand. Because if you collect one player or the other player or both players, you're going to want that card. But unfortunately, there's only one of it. So unless you're that one person, you do without, right?
Yeah. I did not know the game used NBA shoes were an item as well. Now, I should have known that only because anything in sports associated with it has got to have some value. And I see that a group is selling game-used NBA shoes. Tell me about it.
So My Gray, who is famous for the My Gray group, they're famous for selling game-worn jerseys. They're actually really big in hockey, but they also sell the other sports as well. And so they just recently started game-worn NBA shoes. Of course, they're authenticated. If they can be, they're photo-matched. Pretty much everything is easy to I don't say easy to photo-match, but with everything being televised and everything being in high definition, it's so much easier to do that. So it's just to kind of give an idea of like the cost of these sorts of things. On the low end, it seems that shoes are selling for about $1,700, and on the high end, $15,000. Of course, Zion Williamson, his is one of the shoes or pairs of shoes that are selling for $15,000. But I was a little disappointed because A, they were from college, and B, he wore them when he was injured and he was just sitting on the bench and not playing. But if you really like him, hey, you can have these shoes that he wore while attending a game and not necessarily playing in that game.
We have only about 2 minutes plus, but tell me more about the Gordie Howe personal effects item that have been put up for auction.
So the Gordie Howe family has put up another round of his items. Some of the things include jackets, ticket stubs, a card that the NHL commissioner sent him, like a thank you card. Now, Gordie seemed to be pretty smart about this because a lot of these things have his autograph on it. So maybe he was thinking, hey, one day I'm going to pass on and my kids are going to sell these things, and maybe I should just put my autograph on them to make it that more valuable, because it'll be like an All-Star Game bumper sticker, but it has his autograph on it. So then, of course, it's you know, a little more desirable than just a All-Star Game bumper sticker and All-Star Game ticket stub. Two things that kind of really jumped out to me. One was a media pass for Hartford Whalers games. Not that Gordie Howe needed a media pass. I think everybody knew who he was, especially since he played for the Hartford Whalers for such a long time. And that's one item. The other one that I'm really excited about, the one that I would want to buy if I had deep enough pockets, it's only at $350 right now, $350, but it's going to go for more. It's a jersey that he wore in 1997 for the Detroit Vipers of the International Hockey League. He actually played a game for them. He played one shift of one game that made him the only player to play across six decades from the 40s to the 90s. You know, he played a shift, and that was it. It was more of a publicity stunt, but he was still out there playing with guys in the 90s, you know, even at his age then. You know, in his 60s. So that'd be a pretty cool thing to have.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to have that myself. We only have about 20 seconds left, but tell everybody again about the article that they can see in the hockey news that you recently wrote.
It's called Making a Miracle. It's on the making of the movie The Miracle on Ice, which celebrates its 40th anniversary this Saturday.
And where can people reach out to you if they want to connect with you either on the internet or any other way?
They can find me on Twitter at PuckJunk, or they can visit my website at www.puckjunk.com.
And again, he is with us, Sal Berry, each week for the segment that we call The Collector's Corner. Take care. Have a good weekend. We'll check in with you next week, okay?
Thank you, Ron.
Again, Sal Berry, and he is a writer for Sports Collectors Digest, Bucket Publications, and the Hockey News, and also runs a website called Puck Junk, which focuses on hockey collectibles and culture, and he has collected sports cards since 1985. And when we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR racing with Crash Gladys. She's part of the Speed Freaks show here on the Sports Byline Network.
Hey, so are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours at the mall finding new clothes? So you can look great at the office, on the road, or even just on the weekend with friends and family? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands that work for you, and even let them know what types of styles you prefer. Stitch Fix is convenient. You get great clothes delivered right to you, so you can try new styles on in the comfort of your own home and make a decision without any pressure. And Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to match your budget. There's no subscription required ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you got it all together? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for men, women, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Attention homeowners. Do you have a house that's in need of serious repairs? Do you have tenants that never seem to make their monthly payments? How about code violations, past due taxes, or maintenance costs you just can't afford? Then call my friends right now with Quick Cash Offer. They specialize in buying any home, no matter how ugly the situation. Turn that problem property into cash right now. It's just that simple. One call and you can get rid of that home headache forever. They buy the ugliest houses with instant closings, instant cash, and huge savings. Plus, there are no realtor fees, no listing fees, and no repair costs. Just cash in your hands for that painful property. They're buying a few more houses in your neighborhood this month. So take advantage of this cash offer and call Quick Cash Offer now.
800-426-2301. 800-426-2301. That's 800-426-2301.
What if you could change one thing about a room, and it changed everything? A completely new room by changing just one thing, the floor. Now, during Lumber Liquidators Flooring huge winter sale, you can find hundreds of quality floors on sale, like solid hardwood and waterproof, at our absolute lowest prices of the season. And with special financing, you can make that change sooner than you think. These are the floors homes are built on. Lumber Liquidators Flooring. Winter season is January 1st, 2020 through March 31st, 2020.
What's in store this week at your local Staples?
Lap, top of the line.
Staples is the place for the best PCs.
At great prices.
And this week at Staples, in honor of President's Day, the HP Pavilion laptop with Intel Core i7 processor is just $569.99.
You save $260 on this super slim, stylish PC powerhouse.
But hurry, this and other PC deals are good this week only.
At Staples, where there's a whole lot in store.
Ends 2/22/20 while supplies last.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
The NASCAR season is underway, and we always like to check in with somebody that knows a lot about NASCAR, and that would be our Crash Gladys. You hear her, of course, along with Kenny Sargent on the Sports Byline Network on Sundays from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with the best show in motor racing, I think, Speed Freaks, and she joins us on Sports Byline. What has happened between the end of last season and the start of this new season here on NASCAR, Gladys, that the fans may not know about? Any rule changes, anything else significant?
Hey, well, thanks for having me back. I always love coming on around Daytona 500 time, Indy 500 time, to talk about the big Super Bowl events in motorsports. But, yeah, the offseason was relatively quiet because of some of the rule changes in NASCAR, and that was basically you've only got a certain amount of hours in the wind tunnel from January to December, and you better not waste them all on the off season because you're going to need them come mid-season. And they've just done a lot to reduce costs. Now, most of these rule changes were announced back in, I believe it was October of 2019. So teams were aware, and they knew that people were going to be taken off the road in order to reduce costs. The amount of engines given to each team, that was going to be reduced. And the amount of guaranteed chassis, which in the past has been unlimited, that was going to be reduced. And a lot of that is cost saving for the 2020 season, but it's also because, let's be honest, the primary focus for NASCAR and the manufacturers right now is the 2021 season when the next-gen car comes out. So there's a couple different things going on right now, but what that meant for the off season and what we saw from Homestead and the two off months and then Daytona kicking off this season now just a couple of days ago is that things were pretty quiet. Really quiet, unusually quiet. There wasn't a Daytona testing, what they sometimes call speed weeks, the name is escaping me now, what they used to call their testing in January. That's been off the books for a couple of years now. So, yeah, it's been quiet, but suffice it to say, Daytona was pretty loud.
What about drivers changing teams? What was significant, if anything, in the off season?
You know what I've noticed more than anything is, I mean, I guess one of the biggest announcements in the offseason was Jimmy Johnson announcing that 2020 was going to be his final season. And then when it came fast forward to Daytona this past weekend, we had six rookies in the field. And to me, that is the biggest number. I was trying to recollect, when is the last time we had six rookies? In the past couple of years, it's been maybe two, maybe three, but several years of either one or zero. So this is a big rookie crop, and that's combined with the sophomore drivers, which I think are about three this year as well. So a lot of newbies. So, yes, there are a lot of driver changes coming into this season, but also we're going to see a lot more of that for next season because David Ragan, you just saw him in the 500. He's kind of been semi-retired for the last couple of years, but he's been a name that people have known. He's not going to be around next year in addition to Jimmy Johnson. So, yeah, new names, new teams. I think it was Joe Gibbs and also Team Hendrick that just completely flip-flopped their crew chief driver combos. Clearly, it didn't matter for Denny Hamlin, as he has now won the Daytona 500 with three different crew chiefs. The guy is a machine. But, yeah, those kinds of changes were a bit telling to me as well, trying to give the more experienced crew chief to the lesser experienced cup drivers in the field.
Crash, when I looked at the Daytona 500 on Monday and watched the way that ended, and I saw how packed all the cars were, and maybe it was because I had not seen racing, you know, in the off season since the end of last season, and I just kind of shook my head. I mean, I can see that happening almost every time. What was your reaction to what you saw at the end of that race?
Well, gosh, I guess the first big one started with, I think it was like 18 laps to go, and it seemed like it never ended from there. There was another big one, and then another big one, and then, of course, the big crash at the end with Ryan Newman, which, of course, there was a crash on that same lap right before that. But the drivers had taken the white flag, so they weren't going to yellow it again. It was definitely more than usual, more than normal. Now, they've got tapered spacers now to try to reduce downforce on these cars, but the problem that has that has introduced, at least over this last year, is that these cars are now going 12 miles an hour faster than they were just 6 years ago at Daytona. When you're going faster at, they're approximately 204 miles an hour, which in the past used to be an absolute no-no, in which restrictor plates would take care of. The tapered spacers are kind of an alternate to the restrictor plates. The restrictor plates were removed because of pack racing, the tapered spacers being brought in order to maybe prevent pack racing.